We're working our way through Paul's letter to the Romans. It's been described, this letter, as the cathedral of the Christian faith. Each verse is like a stained glass window that allows the light from true light to both illuminate the darkness within as well as give us a 20/20 vision for life without. I want to draw our attention this morning on the eve of fall, back to where we were Sunday, to verse 16 of chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord. "For I am not ashamed," says Paul, "for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who has faith, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every verse allows the light of God to shine into our life. And this is just one of those verses that feels like a huge window. Because in this are and is a prayer for us, a couple prayers. One of the prayer is, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, says Paul. Paul is not ashamed because he is confident of its claims, because he's convicted of its content. The content of the gospel is none other than the risen Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, says Paul, because Jesus is alive right now. The resurrection means that God is still with us. The resurrection means that this Jesus that we talk about and search out in the scriptures isn't merely just a dead figure, but a person who is alive. The gospel has less to do with an idea as it does to do with a person. I'm not ashamed of this person. Jesus is the content of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, says Paul, because it is the power of God for salvation. Salvation. My prayer for you this morning, my prayer for Hope College this morning, is that we would experience the power of God's salvation. Salvation. It's one of those big words that if we lose, we put our own souls in peril. It's one of the big ideas of the whole Bible, the whole narrative story of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is all about God's story of salvation. But what does salvation mean? It's one of those churchy words we use a lot, throw around a lot. I hope you're saved. But what does it actually mean to experience God's salvation? When you hear the word salvation, what do you think of? And more to our point tonight, what was Paul thinking of? Now, I'll confess, when I hear the word salvation for a lot of my life, I got a little twitchy. I didn't actually like that word very much. It always had that feeling of Channel 22 and the purple-haired preachers saying, "You must be saved!" They always seemed a little bit off on me on that. I didn't quite resonate with that. Salvation always had this kind of dissonant term that somehow salvation had a separation to do with the actual real life I lived in. Salvation was something farther out. It was a future experience, but it didn't have anything to do with right now, my life today. Salvation was a word that felt distant from God, even when I was trying to get close to God. When I heard the word salvation, I often think back to Karina. Karina was the second best reason to go to youth group. I would go to Wednesday night youth group, and I would try to sit next to Karina. She went to a different youth group than the church I grew up in, and it was one of those big youth groups. There was a big band, and there was lots of energy, and then the lights would go down. And I would sit next to Karina, and I would say, "Thank you, Lord, for youth group." They'd turn down the lights, and they'd and they put on one of these videos. I was of an era where youth groups, they had these big VHS tapes, look like big bricks, and you put them in the thing and you push play. And we would watch these videos about the end times. The end times were all about God's salvation. The end times was this moment in history when the devil was going to come and take over the world, and only those who were saved would get raptured away, and those that weren't experienced massive suffering. It was one of those kinds of videos that was really designed and produced to scare you right out of hell. Salvation had to do with putting your hand up at the right time in the right place and saying, yes, Jesus, and then getting your insurance card so that you would have eternal security. That's what salvation was. That's what it was suggesting to me. And it always felt a little bit off. This God who I read about in the Bible, who created the world and charged it with glory, was somehow destined it to just eternal destruction. That somehow God didn't care about this world or this place. Those videos kind of nurtured a kind of false mentality, a bad youth group theology that suggested we have two lives. You have your normal life, your get up, you're doing your chores, you're going to do your schoolwork, your friendship, your family kind of life, and then you've got your salvation life. The salvation life is your church life. The church life is going to prepare you for the next life. Salvation is going to be great, it's going to be good, but it's going to be out there someplace. And those two lives never really met at all. When you hear the word salvation, I'm wondering if that's one of the things that you hear. When Paul uses the word salvation, he has something different in mind. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel has a correlation to salvation, but Paul doesn't have a dual mentality of this life, your ordinary life, and your church salvation life. Your salvation life and your normal life is one life, because Paul knows there's no such thing as a spiritual life. There's just life. All of your life is spiritual. Jesus is alive. Jesus takes all of us into himself, not part of us, but all of us. And all things came to being through Jesus. Jesus doesn't live in these false dichotomies. He brings them together so that we might find healing and experience. Paul was somebody who would have taken to heart Jesus' prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." I grew up with the idea that heaven was a far, far away place, but Jesus and Paul were both Jewish. And in this tradition, and in this covenant people of grace, they had an understanding that God cared about their life here. For a Jew, the term salvation would have had resonance with a sense of rescue. Rescue from Egypt, rescue from Babylon, rescue from Rome, rescue from exile. Salvation would have had something to do with their day-to-day life right now. It was a longing to experience freedom from captivity, a longing to be free, to be in full relationship with God, which is why Jerusalem was so important. Jerusalem was the temple where God dwelled. Salvation had to do with going up to the temple, to being with God here now. Salvation is about one life together, integrated. It's not about having your church life, your chapel life, and then your normal life. Salvation is about bringing these lives together. And what does this mean for you? I think it means that to be a person who experiences the power of salvation calls us to a deeper engagement with this world, not a fleeing from this world. The goal of salvation is not a disembodied existence floating around on a cloud. The purpose of the gospel is that we are signposts of the kingdom right here where God has put us. Christians have a bad rap, and often for a good reason, that we have bought into the lie that says that God doesn't care about this world and that all we have to do and that there's no bother caring about the environment or politics or the economy or law or medicine or health or any of the other things that make up civilization, because why would you want to rearrange the chairs on the Titanic? Salvation means that God has come in to rescue this world in total. Paul has the idea that there will be a life to come and Jesus will be there, but he also has the idea that that life has come to us now and Jesus is with us here now, which calls us to be a people in this place, to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves right here, right now, today. A deeper, passionate engagement with this world is what it means to experience the power of God's salvation. Why? Because Jesus is alive right now. And Jesus right now is at the right hand of the Father interceding for this world. Not just the world to come, but this world. All the pain and all the suffering and all the tears is something God cares about right now, which means that we have to care about it right now. Salvation isn't something we are waiting for. Salvation is something we're living into right now, today, with each other in this place called Hope. And what would happen at Hope if we went deeper, deeper into the reality of a God with us and for us? I think that it would spark a renewal and a revival upon which would have an impact for generations yet to come. But not the kind of renewal and revival that is focused on a separate world. I think it would be the kind of renewal and revival that would spark an intellectual revolution. The kind of revolution that suggests to us that the deep down fundamental dynamics of reality, Jesus Christ is Lord, and that that reality needs to shape why we are here studying. Why you are here to invest and use your gifts for the environment and for politics, and for public health, and for law, and for education. It suggests to us salvation has as much to do with the library and the classroom as it does with the chapel. Here at Hope College, I think that if we live deeper into what it meant to experience the power of God's salvation, it would set us free to not live with false dualistic lives, but one life. And in that one life, we would find the true hope that anchors our faith. We would find Jesus among us and with us. We would rediscover that you are made for a significant purpose, that your gifts matter to God here, now, today. There is enough people in this room right now to bear witness to a hope that will overwhelm the world. What would happen if we experienced the power of God's salvation, a salvation that's here now? I think we would experience a beauty so significant that it would transform lives, which is why I'm praying, Lord, may we not be ashamed of your gospel. Lord, may we not be ashamed of Jesus, because Jesus, you are the power of God for salvation. You, Jesus, who are alive, are our salvation. Give us the faith to see that. Give us the faith to live this out so that here, now, today, we might experience its power and its freedom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of Hope said,
amen.
Go in peace, my friends.